Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. If this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. Movies, video games, comic books, TV, all the stuff we grew up loving, and we're going to discuss it in, I think, the internet's oldest pop culture interview show. All that being said, this is a Geekscape special. We recorded the following live at Golden Apple Comics in Hollywood as part of Free Comic Book Day this past weekend. It was a lot of fun, and I just got to say thank you to all the friends who came out and said hi, and they were like, hey, I was looking for a place to go on Free Comic Book Day, and then I saw your post about a live Geekscape. That really means a lot to me. There were some amazing podcasts in the podcast theater that Golden Apple had put together there on Saturday as part of their Free Comic Book Day offerings. And the fact, like just the idea that some of my friends would go out of their way. Maybe they lived in like the Deep Valley, or they lived out east, or, you know, they went away from their neighborhood comic stores and visited Golden Apple so they could watch a free live Geekscape. That was awesome. And Mark Andreyko is a great host. We talk about some really cool stuff. He's got this Violator Spawn Universe series coming in August, and we talk about that and a bunch of other stuff. We give away a lot of free Blu-ray steelbooks for Disney and all that. It was a lot of fun. And thank you to John Carl for putting it all together. My hat's off to them. It was so much fun. And I texted John. I was like, we got to do this more often. And he's like, they got to pay me. Not necessarily the comic book store, but I think it was fun to do a podcast festival, if only for one day. I hope you enjoyed Free Comic Book Day. I did visit Emerald Knights in the Valley to visit our good friend Brian Bucciolato and pick up some stuff. And then I went over to my own neighborhood comic book store, the one that I go to, House of Secrets in Burbank, and I picked up my books, my folder, and some more free comic books. And I don't know how I'm going to get through them, but if the last 35 years are evidence, I think I'll do a pretty good job. I think that's how long I've been reading comics. No, it's been longer than that. I'm 45 years old. I was definitely reading comics since the single digits. Oh boy. I'm just going to say if the last 40 years are any evidence, I will get through those comic books and more, hopefully, in the rest of my lifetime. Hopefully my lifetime extends and you are here with me. Okay, enough. Here's the live Geekscape. Enjoy. Golden Apple Comics, this is Jonathan London from Geekscape. Geekscape is one of the longest running geek interview podcasts. Woo! Movies, video games, comic books, TV. I like to sit down with creators, whether they be actors, writers, directors, or my favorite medium, comic books, and talk about creating those things. And we're here at Free Comic Book Day outside of Golden Apple Comics, one of our favorite shops here in Los Angeles, and I'm really, really, really thankful for them inviting me. John Carl, thank you so much for inviting me, brother. And I'm sitting down with one of my favorite writer friends from the world of comics, Mark Andreyko. You said earlier we've known each other like 15 years?
At least.
It's been a long time, dude.
The last time I did your podcast was over in Hollywood, and it was 2011?
Yeah. Maybe? Yeah, we've been around.
Crazy. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I think you as well are, you just stick with it. You just keep going because what else do you know?
I can't do anything else.
Right.
And the thing that's good about how awful the world is right now is there are no safe jobs. So if you're going to be poor, be poor doing something you love, you know?
I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, actually. And I know you're being a little bit facetious, but I think it's actually really true. How did you get into comic books? If there's somebody listening to this right now, whether they be listening to this on the podcast feed or sitting here at Golden Apple Comics, what is the best way to get into comic books as a writer? Was that something you intended to do? Was it a medium that you loved, or is it something that you fell into?
Everyone that's listening is going to hate this.
Because it's fine.
I don't like telling this story either because I'm embarrassed by it. I grew up reading comics. I learned how to read when I was around 4 years old from Spider-Man Comics and the Electric Company. And I worked in comic book stores.
You want to tell the audience what the Electric Company is? I'm messing
with you. Google it.
You guys know the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing to each other?
That's from the cartoon.
Oh, wait, educate me here on
the Spider-Man on the Electric Company was a costumed guy.
Okay, that was live action.
That was live action.
I thought the Electric Company was, I thought they showed the cartoon as well.
No, that was the 67 cartoon.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry to correct
you. No, I think that's fantastic. No, you should.
So anyway, when I was in college, I was working at a newsstand, and a guy came in with an animation magazine, and I was talking to him. Turned out it was P. Craig Russell, who is a big comic creator. He's known for like doing Oscar Wilde adaptations. He did the 50th issue of Sandman. He's just been around forever. And we became friends, and he had done early on in his career, he did a Doctor Strange annual in like 1974, and they gave it to another writer, and he wasn't really happy with how it ended. And I said, well, this was in the mid-90s. I said, why don't you call Bob Harris and say you want to do a director's cut and do the version you wanted? And a couple of weeks later, I saw him, and he goes, yeah, we're doing the book. And I'm like, oh, cool, great. He's like, when can you start? I said, what? He's like, oh, well, you're writing it. I said, Marvel approved that? He said, yeah. So my first official paid comic book writing job was doing a Doctor Strange one-shot with P. Craig Russell. So yes, you're allowed to groan and hate me and all that, because it's like Rita Hayworth being discovered at the soda fountain at Schwab's. It's like, so yeah.
And had you wanted to get into comics going into it? I mean, you loved comics, but were there any other pursuits that you had?
I was majoring in theater. My degree is in directing, and I had really no interest in becoming a writer, but I had ideas, and I tried to give the ideas to friends to write, and I micromanaged them so much that I just said I might as well write it myself. And somehow I convinced people I can do what I can kind of do this. And I've been making a living for the past like 32 years as a writer.
Oh my goodness, dude. I think that's pretty inspiring to people wanting to get into comics.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, as I get older, the thing that I find the most sexy about people is passion. Everyone should have something they're passionate about. If I'm at a party and I'm talking to someone who's a mortician and they love their job, I'm fascinated.
Right.
Because we realize that most people don't have passion in their life. We all look like we're in the Polar Express. We look like people, but there's that uncanny valley. And passion is sexy, and passion will get you to where you want to be. You might not be a huge movie star or a huge best-selling writer or a huge whatever, but do what you love. Because, you know, I didn't realize how lucky I was as a kid. My parents, since I was 6 years old, would say, do what you want to do. Do what you love, because you're going to be doing it long after we're gone.
Right.
And I didn't realize that wasn't everybody's experience. You know, I didn't have to lie about majoring in theater in college or anything like that. My parents were fully supportive. They just wanted me, if it was something I liked, they wanted me to commit to it and go for it. So I didn't realize that that level of support isn't the norm. You know, when you're a kid, you just think your experience is everybody's. So my advice could be, if there's something you love doing, everything is a challenge. Try. If you try and fail, you tried. You at least know you tried.
And if you keep at it because you have passion, that gap will close.
Oh, yeah. And I'm too stupid to give up. You know, there's really nothing else I can do. At this point, I'm in my 50s. So it's like I'm not going to get hired at a company. So right. I might as well keep doing this, you know. And it's just, you know, and I'm also single. So that there's different variants too.
Like, you do not use the show to solicit. Please.
Oh, no, but I'm saying I'm allowed to live a Spartan life and not necessarily make a lot of money.
You're going
to
put out your like,
because I don't have kids and a house to pay for, but you know, you just have to figure out what scratches the itch for you, what you're passionate about. And that could be anything.
And sometimes it takes people years to do that. And sometimes life will buffet them from the left or right. They don't see it coming. And suddenly that passion changes.
Yeah. Oh, but, and that's another thing too. Your passion can change. When I started college, I thought I wanted to be an actor. And then I directed a play and I was like, oh, I want to do this. I don't want to act.
Yeah.
So don't think that if you want to change something in the form you're interested in, a lot of times we're interested in a genre or a form of things. Like we're interested in comic books, we're interested in music. you might have thought of, you wanted to be a lyricist, but then you become a producer, a music producer. So there's, you can change jobs within that thing. Don't do anything that you think you're doing because people expect it of you. Do what you want to do. You know,
I think what I love about having done this show since 2005, 2006 is talking to people who have that passion, and it doesn't matter if it's in video games or comics or movies, but that's, I love learning from them, and I love kind of nerding out, geeking out with them and saying, dude, totally. But you're an actor, and I don't think I could ever do that. But I do love that fire that you have that puts you through the complete rejection you will face in anything you do.
Oh, yeah. And also, you know, if you're pursuing something you love, you're instantly going to be attractive to people because you have a point of view. With the advent of the internet and our phones, kids now have all the information in their phones and nothing in their heads. When we were kids, it would be like, oh, who was that actor? Oh, I don't remember his name. And then 3 days later, I'd remember his name and I'd call you. Mm-hmm. Now you just look it up on your phone. So the technology has made us a little bit more like drones than we need to be. So find things that you're passionate about and go after them unapologetically.
Right.
You know? And don't be afraid of learning. I'm so frustrated. And I guess this isn't really comic book. You were getting a little
My show usually talks about the journey of storytelling and stuff like that, but we're going to talk about your comics.
We've become a culture that is no longer inquisitive.
Right.
And because of certain political parties, we have become a culture that demonizes intellectualism. And when I learn something that I didn't know, or I learn something that I get corrected on, I'm not threatened by that. I'm glad I know it. The best part of being a writer is doing the research and learning stuff. You should try and learn something new every day of your life. And it doesn't have to be something huge. It can be something small. It can be like, oh, I can put cayenne pepper in tartar sauce and it makes it great. That's a win. But the lack of inquisitiveness drives me crazy because, you know, I as a writer, I read a lot for work, so I can't read for pleasure as much as I want to. So it's like I want to get people to ask questions.
Doesn't mean your bedside table isn't still covered in stuff.
My bedside table's out of control. I'm also a big believer that you should also have more books than you can read in your life.
You know?
John Waters famously said, if someone picks you up and takes you home to their apartment and you don't see any books, don't sleep with them.
No.
And that's absolutely true. You know, if you go to a bookstore and you walk out empty-handed, you failed yourself.
It's a crazy thing about Rocky One, when Rocky takes Adrian back to his apartment, he's literally got like this mattress in his living room with a knife sticking out of it. Have you guys seen Rocky recently? That's the one thing I noticed is like, yeah, you'd rather be in the woods with a bear. Well, we're talking about like. I wanted to show the Rocky. I'm sorry, we got off topic, but I wanted to show the Rocky series to my wife. She'd never seen it. And I was like, okay, we'll start with Rocky One. And that was the scene that stuck out, was that first date where she actually goes up to his apartment and he's got a knife sticking out of a mattress in his living room and she doesn't just turn around and leave.
And they get married.
And they end up getting married and getting a robot. Like, it's crazy.
The robot's been removed, though. He removed the robot from the director's cut. Part three?
That revisionism's not...
Part four?
It's not my Rocky Four. Not my Rocky Four. Mark, speaking of fan bases, we have these steel Blu-rays to give away.
Yep.
These are compliments of Disney. We've got the Andor Complete First Season Blu-ray Steelbook. We got Moon Knight. We've got Obi-Wan Kenobi. We got Falcon and Winter Soldier.
And we also have a box set of John Carpenter's books, Night Terrors, signed by Mr. Carpenter himself and his wife, Sandy, who publishes them.
Former Geekscape guest, Sandy Carpenter, who's amazing.
We'll be doing some John Carpenter trivia for this one.
How do you want to give some of these away? Do we want to go with an Andor, an Obi-Wan, or Moon Knight? Or what do we want to do, Marvel or Star Wars? What do you think? Let's pick two of those geek things, Marvel or Star Wars.
Well, I know more about Marvel than Star Wars.
Okay, let's go with a Moon Knight and a Falcon Winter Soldier. We're going to go double disc. I'm going to give both of these out at once. You're getting both first seasons of those shows. Hopefully we see more seasons of these shows because I enjoyed them. Mr. Mark Andrako.
Okay, I got a question for
the
audience. What was the color of the Falcon's original costume?
Please.
Well, that's wrong, but no.
Whoa.
I saw that gentleman's arm go up first.
Red and yellow.
No, there's going to be one. There's two questions.
Mike Wellman is Mike Wellman is working the job.
There's a question per genre. So, a good Moon Knight question.
You earned the fucking Winter Soldier at least.
I know everything about.
Just give him some obscure Egyptian history.
No, I'm
going to be like, who is the third guy?
I just know Moon Knight shit. I don't know real.
Well,
let's see.
You ever been possessed by a demon or a god or anything? Maybe.
I think he's a good Moon Knight.
There are multiple identities of Moon Knight. You can ask about them.
Moon Knight was on a superhero team in the 90s. What superhero team was it?
He was in the West Coast Avengers. He was on the...
That's correct.
He just named three teams, sir. Mike Wellman, you have definitely earned these Blu-rays. And then you answered both of them correctly. Yeah. Here you go, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We have more things to give away. You want to give away the...
Because I'm too nerdy.
Yeah. No. All right, guys. Star Wars one. I want them to fight for them. Yeah. Can we set up a fight club? Or is that...
Sure.
All right. No. All right. Let's do the Andor and Obi-Wan Kenobi steelbooks.
I have an Andor question. Diego Luna was in an Alfonso Cuarón movie that is one of the best movies most of you probably have not seen. Give me the name of the title in Spanish. You were first. That's correct. Yeah,
that is excellent. It. Y tu mama también. And then we got Obi-Wan Kenobi over here.
Thank you.
Ask. Y tu mama también. Let's do a Red Hot Chili Peppers trivia for Obi-Wan Kenobi, knowing that Flea was in the... I'm not doing that. Marvel's already mad at me. They're like, Secret Invasion Season 2, this guy doesn't want it? I would watch it.
No one wants Secret Invasion Season
2. I would watch Season 2.
Obi-Wan Kenobi
question. Why would you hide the kids on his home planet? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. What flavor crisps were made from Aunt Beru and Uncle
The white milk?
I was going to make cookies for their bake show. I was going to make gingerbread men and burn them and break them up and put them in bags and sell them as Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen.
What do you got?
Oh, here's one. This is a Ewan McGregor question.
Okay.
Ewan McGregor played a thinly veiled version of David Bowie in what film opposite Christian Bale?
Velvet Goldmine.
That's correct.
Velvet Goldmine. You got this. All right. Mark, you don't just do comic book trivia. You also write them. And you've got this upcoming book in the Spawn universe about this Spawn character, Annihilator.
No, Violator.
The Violator. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm not a Spawn reader. And so if you're not a Spawn reader, what is this a great jumping in point for the Spawn universe? Because it's expansive. There's like Gunslinger Spawn. There's all sorts of different Spawns. It's like the number of Deadpools now, like Dogpool. There's a million Spawns. Why am I going to go pick up a Violator comic? Talk to me.
This is different in that it's a 6-issue miniseries. Each issue is 48 pages, and each issue is a different artist.
That's huge. And it's a lot of pages.
Trust me, I know. And it takes place, it follows Violator through the history of him as existence. The first issue is The War in Heaven. The second issue takes place in the Viking era. The third issue is during the Black Plague in Paris. The fourth issue is with Rasputin and the royal family in Imperial Russia. The fifth issue is in Weimar, Germany, right before World War II. And then the sixth issue is contemporary. And it's him telling his story. And as he's a demon, he's an unreliable narrator. So you don't know what's true and what's not. And working with Todd has been a dream. I worked with Todd years ago. He was one of the original people that optioned Torso for film, and I did a Sam and Twitch book for him, and I reached out to Todd about a couple of years ago and said, hey, I have this idea, now that you're expanding, how about this? And Todd, being Todd, since he owns everything, he's like, sure, let's do it. I'm like, oh, that was quick.
That's
the opposite of my experience in every other creative venture.
Yeah,
but the art teams are great. Peter Kowalski's drawing the first issue, and he's drawn he's doing the American Psycho comic right now. He did Nightbreed with me. He's done all sorts of stuff. He's fantastic. The second issue is Kyle Hoetz, who is doing Eisner work. It looks like he's like the love child of Bernie Wrightson and Kelly Jones.
Just different artists per issue doing different eras. I'm on to you, sir, so I know that you're picking these eras based on what you want to research and learn more of, or might
know a lot about.
Well,
I went to Catholic school, so I know a lot about the fall of heaven.
You know what? I wasn't interested, but then knowing that you were actually doing a bit of a history book as well.
Well, yeah, this is meant to be, you know, when I was pitching to Todd said he wanted something that felt vertigo-y, and he said, you know, that he knows I can write stuff like that, but it's not in his wheelhouse.
A little Sandman.
And this is, you don't, if you know Spawn characters, great. But if you don't know the Spawn characters, you don't need to. There's enough going on in this book to give you an idea of who these characters are and what's going on with them. And like I said, the art, every issue is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. I wanted them to publish a black and white version with no words in it, just so you could see how beautiful this art is. Everybody's bringing their A game. And we're doing a panel for it at San Diego, and it comes out in August. It's going to be monthly starting in August.
Dude, you got to be stoked.
Yeah, it's exciting. And when you look at it, 648-page book, that's a lot of pages.
Is there a comic book character that you haven't done that you are like, thirsting for, that you're like, I would want to knock that out of the park. That's the character I grew up with, or that's the one I love, or have an angle on that I would love to do.
I've peripherally gotten to write almost everybody I've wanted to.
That's why I asked.
But if I had the chance to write, like, from the big two, some characters that I would love to do an arc of Spider-Man. I don't really have any interest in doing a monthly regular book with any of those characters because it's all now so event organized.
No, you want a story. I want to come and say,
here's 12 issues. I'll do that. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of Batman projects that I would love to do. I would love to do a Hawkman book. I would love to do a Hawkman book and do it set in ancient Egypt.
Do
Gladiator and that sort of thing with it. But yeah, it just depends. I mean, I never thought I would like writing Supergirl. And when I got that gig, I loved writing Supergirl.
Why didn't you think you'd like that?
I didn't think I would dislike it, but right. I just didn't have any. I was like, oh,
it wasn't
and,
that, one that you,
and yeah. then when I found the hook for it, I was like, oh, now I want to do it. You know, the hook for my arc on Supergirl was, you know, she talked to Clark. She's like, Clark, you know, for you, Krypton is theoretical. You were a baby,
yeah.
but I was 14. I'm technically older than you. And every single person I knew and loved died. So for me, I have like PTSD from Krypton. You, it's just theoretical. You don't remember Krypton.
Clark is like, I got a surprise and brings out Kandor and is like, Kandor.
And then Zod steps on it.
Yeah.
But finding that inroad, finding, you know, for any of these big superhero characters, it's like writing mythology. You want to find the human kernel within it that gives them. And for her, having to deal with her grief and process who she is and having lost everything was interesting. And that sounds big and heavy in it, but
it's a teenager motivation book.
Yeah.
You're writing a book about a teenager suffering loss.
Yeah.
And
not just a loss, a loss of everything. Loss.
Right.
You know,
what was the reception on that book? It actually sounds like a really
pretty good. I mean, you know, those characters are always a hard sell, but I got to work with Kevin Maguire for the Great Unwashed Amongst You did the Justice League with Keith Giffen. That was the comedy Justice League.
The late, it's known great
for the great
Keith Giffen.
Oh, Keith was amazing. It's known for the great Batman punching Guy Gardner in the face, one punch. But working with Kevin Maguire is like being an actor and having Robert De Niro be in your student film. It's like, right. I get to work with these people who literally, if I had never read their work, I'd be a different person. You know, I was friends with George Perez. That's ridiculous.
How do you even go on from there? Right.
You know, it's just like, you know, it's just amazing. And what's really interesting about the comics community is that lots of the bad apples get lots of press. And that's always the way it is. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, but the comics community is so great. I mean, I'm friends with Walt Simonson. What is that about?
It's pretty awesome,
you know. And you know, his wife presented me an award in a Baltimore Con a few years back, and it was like this full circle moment for me where I was like, I never thought this would happen. And there's a great story about Walt. Walt and George are two George late George Perez were two of the just the best ambassadors for comics. When Walt Simonson revived Thor sort of in the 80s,
revived Thor.
Yeah, it did the best Thor ever.
Yeah.
I met him at a convention in Cleveland when I was like 13 years old, and he was at his table and I started talking to him. And he talked to me not like an artist talking to a fan or an adult talking to a kid. He talked to me like a person. And every time I see Walt, I tell that story again. And he doesn't remember it, nor should he, because he sees so many people. But I was like, that influenced me, because I was like, oh, this guy is not only super talented and good at what he does, but he's a good person. Yeah. And, you know, we all see things, you know, we all see things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where suddenly you can't watch them anymore because of the things these creators have done.
Yeah.
And there are so many great people in comics who are their talent is only exceeded by the character that they have. And that's what's really lovely. It's like, you know, it's like a sleepover, like let's put on a show sort of thing. And you want that sort of energy. So I've been very fortunate in my career to get to meet a lot of my idols and to work with a lot of them.
The one that I name drop like crazy, because he let me moderate for him for years at his own convention, was Stan. Because like, there was one year in 2016, I'd gotten separated. Mm-hmm. And you met my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful, but we'd gotten separated. And I'd like removed my wedding ring. And Stan had asked if I could moderate a Legends of Comics panel with Todd McFarlane mm-hmm. and other people from Image. And I said no. And then a friend of mine who's been on the show many times, Cooper Barnes, who plays Captain Man on Nickelodeon, Danger Force, mm-hmm. he said, Jonathan, I always wanted to meet Stan. I don't know if he's going to be with us much longer. How can I do this? And I said, well, if I take the panel back, I can bring Cooper backstage to meet Stan, take a photo, and I'll just host the thing. I wanted to crawl into a hole if anybody's been through something like that. And I really wasn't feeling like being in public, much less at a giant
comic.
Well, sometimes that's the way when you need to do it, because when you're pulled out of your funk and you realize, oh,
dude,
life does progress.
Mark, yeah. I'm sitting on stage and I'm throwing the questions and we're having fun for the most part. I'm seeing everybody's hands and they're all wearing wedding rings. And I feel like the biggest loser. And I just want to get off that stage.
I paid all those people to wear wedding rings.
And I realized like nobody's talking and they were waiting for another question from their moderator who's totally checked out. And then I just want to get out of there. And after the panel's done, everyone wants to take a photo. And I said, you guys have fun with your photo. I'm not a legend of comics. I'm going to slink off. And as I'm slinking off, Stan grabs my elbow and he goes, get in here. You're part of this, ain't you? And that was Stan. Stan was like, I'm here to make your day better and to make you happier. And that's why he co-created a lot of this stuff. And you feel it whenever Spider-Man is hopeful, like Spider-Man, Peter is Stan in a lot of ways. Right. Let's give out the Carpenter stuff because that looks awesome. Storm King Comics is Sandy Carpenter's banner. They do awesome horror books.
And every Halloween, Golden Apple has a signing for the newest John Carpenter's Tales of Terror, whatever the that year's collection is.
Sandy's awesome. Sandy's been on the show. She's wonderful. Let's think of a cool trivia to do for this giveaway.
We can do some John Carpenter trivia.
Sure. Sure. Was he really out of bubblegum? I'm kidding.
No. John Carpenter directed Kurt Russell in... Five films.
I can name maybe three.
Name all five of them.
Name all five films.
If you can name all five of them without looking on your phones, not only will you get this, I'll give you one of each of these.
You get four steel books.
Okay. This gentleman had a hand up first, so go ahead.
The thing.
Big Trouble in Little China. Escape from New York. Bring it home, baby. Bring it home. Who wants to come in for the steal?
I think 10, 9.
We got 3 out of 5. I saw Junior's hand go up next. Junior's hand went up next. You got
okay.
What? Escape from LA. How can you forget the surfing scene?
Okay, and what else?
¿Y qué más?
Elvis.
Yes.
Elvis.
Oh shit.
Oh. And he forgot about Elvis.
Yep. TV movie. Yep.
And it was a TV movie.
And it's actually fantastic. It's one of the best Elvis films ever made.
Wait a minute. It's better than the one where... No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to besmirch the Tom Hanks
Colonel. Giving stuff away is fun. Let's figure out...
Okay, let's give it... We got four... We got too many of these Blu-rays. We got one more Falcon Winter Soldier. Is that a rumor about Sam getting a helmet in the movie to hide him? It's not a rumor. It's not real, right?
He has no cowl,
right? Yeah. They're covering his face?
Just
goggles? Okay, we can live with that. All right. I've seen a rumor that they were going to cover Sam Wilson's head and give him like an Ant-Man helmet. I'm glad it's just a rumor, Geekscapus. All right. What do you want to give away, Mark?
We got all the stuff to give away. We can figure out some questions.
I just realized Matt Robb, who did the show before us, is a cheater because he has this book of comic book trivia, and it's almost comedic that he used this book as a cheat sheet. He's like Biff from Back to the Future. This is his this is his sports betting book. All right. You want to pull it out of Matt Robb's cheater book?
Oh, these are so easy.
They may not be easy to our audience, though. There are a couple Marvel ones just right here on the... that one's too easy.
Oh,
there's a Spawn-related one right there.
I got a Star Wars one. What was the name of the Green Rabbit character in Star Wars created for the comic book?
Is that... Jackson, but with like apostrophe somewhere.
You
yep,
got it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Obi-Wan or Andor? Which one do you want?
Andor. All right. You got Andor. See, dude, you're a not so knowledgeable Geekscape host who's going to yell out Bucky O'Hare because I love Green Rabbits.
He predated
Bucky O'Hare. All right. Marvel, there's a lawsuit
there.
I think
that character's, that rabbit's skull appears in one of the Star Wars comic books.
What planet is he from?
You can make your own. What planet is he from?
Adupa.
Adupa? We can't even test if that's real or not. So come up here and get whatever you want. Google real quick.
Obi-Wan?
Yeah, take whatever. I'm messing with you, bro.
Don't you know?
Sir, we don't want to fight here. All right. This is a comic store, sir. There are kids. Do not put that. Put the kid down. Do not use him as a weapon. All right. It's audio theater. Listeners don't know that it's not real.
Okay, here's a Spider-Man question. This one isn't that difficult, but we'll see. Gwen Stacy, we know, was killed by the Green Goblin. Who killed her father?
Who killed Captain Stacy? It's really famous. It's a canon event.
Oh. You in the pink.
In the pink? Who killed Captain Gwen Stacy in the Spider-Man comics? It's pretty famous.
It
wasn't Kingpin.
Yep.
Lizard, Rhino.
Yep.
Chameleon.
Nope.
Guys, you guys know this?
Who said it? First?
Tom Pinchuk knew it. Oh. Tom Pinchuk, once I was going to have a water tower land on me, and Tom Pinchuk stopped it. And that was the scene right there, was the water tower falling off the building.
And now, even though I'm not dead, I still haunt you.
Tom Pinchuk does haunt me. Comic book writer Tom Pinchuk. Tom, which of these do you want, man? Or do we just start throwing these?
No, okay. We can come up with questions.
What do you want? You want Obi-Wan? Okay, I got an Obi-Wan for you right here, brother. All right. Whatever you want, man.
Okay, here's an obscure, stupid, goofy question. On the cartoon Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, when he was roommates with Iceman and Firestar and lived with Aunt May had a dog. What was the dog's name?
Oh, man.
Hey, John, next time you get that was
Nope.
Yo, these are hard, Mark.
Right. Miss Lion?
Hey!
Miss what?
Miss Lion.
Miss Lion? Bro, okay, which one do you want? You want to close out the Marvel deal and get a Moon Knight?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right.
And I see how many little kids are in the audience. I see one over there.
Oh,
and one
we
over
just
there.
Give these to them.
How about we? Would you like an Andor or would you like an Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Andor.
And what would you like, sir?
What would you like, kid?
We got Captain America. We got Moon Knight. We got Obi-Wan, and we got Andor.
What do you think? Give them the horror books. I'm kidding. Yeah. This one might be scary. The Moon Knight stuff got some scary stuff in it, but we got some Star Wars. This one's a little
Obi-Wan. That's a good one.
There you go, Obi-Wan. It'll introduce you to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Here we got three left.
We got three left
three
here.
Questions. Three more questions. Let's see here. Trying to think of ones that are fair to ask because
they gotta be fair.
Obscure ones.
They gotta be fair. We almost started a fight. You and your freaking obscure 1960s trivia almost started a fist fight out there.
Moon Knight was one of the first projects for a very famous Marvel Comics artist known for the New Mutants. What is that artist's name?
Yes, sir.
Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yep. You nailed it.
It's actually Sienkiewicz, but
Sienkiewicz?
We will give a.
The only way I remember that is listening to podcasts talking about comics.
If only I had knowledge about like biochemistry, I could have a Nobel Prize. But I know
you didn't have
like,
a passion for it.
I know Ms. Lion was Aunt May's dog.
With that little pink like bow, like she kept her hair up in like a little bow.
Here's one. What Golden Girl was in the Star Wars Christmas special?
You guys should know this one. He said B. Arthur. Right there.
What
do you want? Andor or Falcon Winter Soldier? Falcon Winter Soldier? All right, catch. I'm kidding. It's Steelbook, bro. It's hard. It'll bounce off your head. I'm going to keep it right here for you, Junior, from the hashtag show.
Hey, we got one left. We got Andor left.
Let's we got see. Andor. All right.
Who else is in this other than Diego Luna?
You got Gollum in it. Smeagol's in it.
Andy Serkis?
Yeah. Andy Serkis can't swim.
Oh, okay.
Remember that scene in Andor?
Andy Serkis has directed two movies recently based on existing properties. One went directly to HBO Max, and the other was a big theatrical hit. Name both of them.
Oh.
Well, let's see if there's anybody else who hasn't won everything.
You can name one of them. I know you can name one of them.
Was that the title?
Yeah,
they renamed it Mowgli. He did the adaptation.
And what's the other film?
Oh, dude, you know this. What you got? He did. Yep. Let There Be Carnage. The Venom 2. He did. All right, here's Andor. Sir, I'll leave it right here for you. All right, we've given away everything. You gave away your hat.
No.
Mark, listen, what do you want to leave the audience with going into August when your book is coming out? This new Spawn?
Pre-order it if you can. It'll be in the solicitations, not the ones right now, but the next month. Pre-ordering helps a great deal. They're going to be variant covers. They're freely orderable. They're not going to be like $100 one in 100 covers. There's going to be two covers on each issue. I'm exceedingly proud of the book. And even if you don't like me, the book is worth buying just to look at the art, because all six art teams are doing literally the work of their career, and you don't need to know Spawn to enjoy the book or the Violator. But if you do, there's Easter eggs for you. But if you don't, it's a nice ride through history. And like I said, it's something I'm exceedingly proud of. And Todd's price, I think it's $4.99 for a 48-page book. So, you know, that's
great.
Todd, you know, when you're the king of the world, you can keep your books priced fairly. So, and hopefully we'll be doing a signing here at Golden Apple when the book is out. So, yeah, absolutely. Brother, and I've got other irons in the fire. You know how it is in Hollywood.
No, come back on Geekscape.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Whenever you got any more of those irons. And guys, thanks for listening to this. Mark will be around to answer questions, hang out, listen to Geekscape on any of your podcatchers. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for being a part of this. Geekscape is how awesome was that? I got to tell you, there's just a different energy from doing Geekscape live in front of an audience. I think I feed off of it a bit more. I don't know. It's up to you guys. You tell me. If you're an audio subscriber, you can hear it, I think. The live versions, and then the versions that I record here in the living room talking to people. I don't know. But then the audience gets in on it, and we take it to another level. I had such a blast. Thank you, Golden Apple, for having me. Thank you, John Carl, for organizing it. And thank you to Eugene Lazos over at the Geek Saga for doing all the audio engineering, broadcasting some of this stuff, streaming over the internet. We had a blast. And again, having people specifically come to Golden Apple for their free comic book day because Geekscape was there, and telling me, and I mean, wow, over 18 years into this, and we're still picking up friends and fans, and you guys are discovering it, or maybe you're discovering us through the other shows here on the Geekscape Network, or vice versa. It's just love, and we love the pop culture stuff, and we love each other, and that is what we try and share here. So, wow, what a positive experience that was at Free Comic Book Day, hanging out with your friends and talking about all that stuff, and I hope you really, really, really enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it and seeing everybody. That was a blast. We're not done this week. That was a Geekscape special just for you audio listeners. I hope you dug it. I hope you told your friends to subscribe, and I hope you're hitting those share buttons right now to share Geekscape with your friends. But we are not done. We have an episode coming up in a day or two. It's going to be great. S.W. Loudon, Jason Cropper are going to be talking about the geek rock scene of the Hollywood geek rock scene of the 90s and the 2000s. You're like, why do I care about that? Because Weezer came out of it. Nerf Herder came out of it. Tons of other bands came out of it. But that like, kind of, what were people wearing back then? They had the glasses and the golf shirts and, you know, maybe the soccer jerseys like the Weezer guys used to wear back in during the Blue Album. What were they wearing? They were wearing like bowling shirts in the Weezer album, the Blue Album era. That whole scene is awesome. And we're going to have two people who were there. Jason Cropper was the original Weezer guitarist before Brian Bell. And we're going to have them both on Geekscape talking about what it was like in the clubs with the different personalities, making that sound, that alternative sound that wasn't grunge, but was for people like me and Matt Kelly with the nerds. Maybe you were into it, but you can't deny it was geeky and it rocked. And it was a big movement in music when Weezer started, you know, getting the charts, and you had bands like Nada Surf and Super Dragon, Wax, and all those awesome bands coming out of that era. And we got two of them, two people who were right there in the trenches on Geekscape, and I cannot wait to talk to them about it. All right, Geekscape, you have your mission. Subscribe, keep listening, and don't hate, create. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.